Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Because it's like you have to make a decision in regards to... All right, so the thing you're talking about is complicated. Relationships are not complicated. We make them complicated. The Bible didn't say love is complicated. It said love is patient, it's kind, it's gentle, all that stuff, but we don't see love as complicated in there, do we? Love is simple. And it just requires you to think more of the other person than you do of yourself. So love, in and of itself, if you're not ready to die, then you're not ready for love. Relationships are about dying. Relationships are about dying to yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Well, what did the cross represent? The cross represented where? That's where Jesus died, right? And he died. Why did he die? He died because of love. He loved us. So we think love is about us being happy, and love is about us getting everything we want and getting all of our needs met, somebody coming in our lives and giving us these butterflies in our stomach and making us feel warm and fuzzy. All right, we think that's love. But when you really strip it all down to what it is, love is about dying. Right? And that's why when you really get into a covenant, a marriage covenant, that's when you begin to actually see who's real about their love, right? Because we can fake our love, and we can present an illusion or facade of how much we're willing to do until we enter into a covenant of marriage. I know people who were together for 10 years, 12 years, before they were married, and then they get married, and it's less than 2 years, they're divorced. So then we hear people say, well, you know, that's why we don't want titles, because titles complicate things. How many of you heard that? The young people say that a lot now. So if you ask a teenager, are they in a relationship, they'll say no. That's just my friend. But they won't say they really are. They're kissing. They're hugging up on somebody. They're in a relationship, but they won't put a title on it because they're going to say titles complicate things. All right? Titles don't complicate things. It clarifies things. And people who are afraid of clarity because they don't want exclusivity, they're going to deny a title. Right? Maybe you wanted to add something?
Titles only complicate things when you're uncertain.
Right.
But when you are positive and you are sure about what it is that you want, it's very simple. But again, as Pastor just said, it complicates things when we're uncertain about what it is we actually want, what it is we actually want to do, how do we want to move forward in a relationship.
So God doesn't call us to live in complication. The Bible's, God is not the author of confusion. So complication, confusion are the same things. Something that's complicated means it's hard to understand, it's hard to analyze, it's hard to figure out. The Bible tells us, for example, that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When we follow Christ, we're supposed to walk in clarity. Everybody say clarity. And we talked about that word clarity during our order series or our reset series, right? We talked about the four reset buttons that we need to push in our lives. And I really believe when it comes to relationships, the first thing you want to do is establish some clarity in regards to your goals, what you are doing, what are your expectations, and you want to see clarity from the other person. Because when you get into complicated relationships or complicated situations in general, something that's complicated frustrates you. When something that's complicated, it does not give you life, right? It saps your energy. It causes you to get tired. In some cases, complications can kill you. Right? When a mother is carrying a baby and there's complications, that's not a good thing. Because you know that there might be something wrong that might lead to the death of that baby. So you don't want to hear that there's some complications in your body. Why? Because everything is supposed to flow. Life is supposed to flow. When things are in its rightful place, when there's order, which is the right arrangement of things, when things are in order, life flows. Amen? And your love life is supposed to flow. So as soon as you start getting in that complicated phase, like, I don't know what's going on, you already know you probably are in something you shouldn't be in. Say that?
When you get into a phase of, it's complicated, I really don't understand what's going on here, someone is more invested than the other person. Someone wants something that the other person does not want. And I have this thing I always say, you don't have to want what I want, but I know what I want. So if you don't want what I want, then it's time for me to exit.
Wow. That's
and I've always had that mindset. So when you enter into relationships, you have to know and you have to be clear about what it is that you want.
Wow.
And when you, especially when you're definitely sure about the courting stage and this is a person that I'm very interested in, this is a person that I think, you know, I could definitely see myself with, you have to be very clear about what it is that you want. Because if that person is not there, you can't force that person to be where you are. And that's what complicates things. When we want and when we're requiring more from a person than what they're willing to give.
Wow.
Or able to give.
That's good.
Yep.
That's good.
And there is where the confusion and the complications lie.
And I find it a lot with Christian women or Christian men.
Because our relationships are the most complicated.
Yeah, because it's like we believe that we can pray someone into certain things.
It's true.
Right? So it's like, We're like, you know, he's not saved, but I'm believing, you know.
You can believe. There's nothing wrong with believing.
Right. And it's like, I think, but then we step into the relationships
with an unrealistic expectation. So you're believing, but you have an unrealistic expectation. Because you don't really know what God is going to do. You don't know if that is what God wants for you. So you're praying for something with an unrealistic expectation and hoping that God is going to turn it around. But you don't even know if that's what God has for you. So then we enter into these relationships and we're like, all right, God, he's not exactly or she's not exactly what it is that I know that I need in this moment, but
I don't really, he's not thinking about marriage, but
yeah, but
you know, maybe if he gets,
he's not really saved, but all those buts, right? All those, you know, uncertainty, right? The things that, or not even uncertainty, the things that you know that the person is not, but you're hoping and wishing and praying that perhaps in time that the person will eventually become who it is you want them to become. And that's unrealistic.
Yeah. I actually wrote that down as one of the points, takeaways for today. What she said, I love him, but... Well, I love her, but it's a good sign that you're probably with someone you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be with, right? Because that in and of itself, like I think you just said it perfectly. It's like it shouldn't be any, there shouldn't be no ambiguity in regards to exactly where we're going and what our expectations are. Go ahead. Yeah, no, you got something.
I just, even in the room, this is really, I sense walls, right? So I'm going to just pray that as we continue in this conversation, that you will be open to what it is that God wants you to hear in this hour. Because God wants to save you from heartache. And the more we know, right? The more we know, the less errors that we make, right? And you don't want to keep We're left with hurt. We're left with pain. We find ourselves doing things that we have no business doing. We find ourselves in places that we have no business in. And this is, as Christians, this is a hard topic, but it's real. I've been there. I'm not speaking from a place that, oh, okay, she's married, so. No, I've been there, so I know. When we don't walk, when we don't hear from the Lord, when we move in haste, we end up with broken hearts, right? When we get into relationships that God has never called us to, and we're okay with, oh, it's kind of complicated, we end up hurt and broken. And then we go back to God after we've done what we wanted to do. Like, God, okay, I need you to fix it. This pain, I need you to make it go away. These are the prayers that we pray. It's real. I pray them. But it's out of disobedience. It's out of disobedience, right? So, point being, I really want you guys to have an open heart and an open spirit about this and what God is saying in this hour. He desires for us to be his. When you're single, God desires for you to be his, right? Until it is the time that he releases you. And when you're in complicated things, your judgment is off. Your mind is off. Your emotions are off. You can't give God 100% when you're in situations that God has never called you to. So I want you to really, if that's you, I don't know who it is, but if it's you, I really want you to think about this. I really want you to think about this and ask yourself, God, are you calling me to this person? We know when we think about how complicated the situation is. Oh, he has a child, which there's nothing wrong with. He has a child, but I think he kind of still messes around with his daughter's mother or his son's mother. Those are complicated situations that God warns us. He shows us the signs, but we choose to do what we want to do, right? What are some of the other complicated?
We got.
You want me to move back a little bit?
No, that's good. We got like friends with benefits relationships.
Yeah. So friends with benefits. What does that mean? What does friends with benefits mean? Can someone just say what you think friends with benefits mean? Just shout it out. Somebody said it already? That's it, right? Oh, we go out to dinner. And then sometimes I made enough at his house. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. I like that comfort. I like not being by myself.
There's no titles, so...
No need to complicate things. We're just kind of going with the flow, right? Just go with the flow and, you know, see what happens. Love is intentional. God is intentional. He's intentional about us. He's intentional about what he has for us to do. So if you're just kind of going with the flow, you going with the flow, leads you to sin. Right?
It's true. So yeah, that we got abusive relationships. So you keep going back to this person and they keep
They're emotionally abusive, verbally abusive, physically abusive, but it's something that keeps drawing you back to that person. It's the enemy. Because when you enter into abusive relationships, it's the enemy's responsibility to isolate you. When he brings you into isolation and isolates you from your friends, from your family, from God, right? We can't hear from God because we're broken, right? We can't hear from God because we're in sin. We can't hear from God because we hear the words of someone else that's penetrating our hearts and our minds and our spirits, right? But God gives us the warning signs. It says that he's already made the way of escape. And we see those signs and we're not even oblivious because we see them. But it's like, but I don't want to be alone. he may go upside my head, but he's nice, right? No, I'm being real. Like, no, I'm serious.
Yes.
But he's nice. Like, he doesn't really mean it. He does it when he gets angry. Or, you know, she doesn't really mean it. She's abusive, but I know she loves me. I know she has some things that she needs to work out. Yeah, she does, and she needs to work them out without you. You don't have to subject yourself to that. You are a king. You are a priest.
Yes, yes.
When God made you, he made you fearfully and wonderfully. He's called you into greater purpose. So your body is not yours. It's the Lord's. So why would you allow someone to violate your body that doesn't even belong to you? That belongs to God. So your mind is all messed up. You can't focus. You're totally off track. The things that God has called you to, you can't do them because you're living in this state of abuse, right? And I've watched it. I know what that looks like. I haven't physically been abused, but I've watched firsthand what that does to someone and how it tears them down and how it breaks their spirit. How it kills your self-esteem. That's not what God has called us to. When God created us, he created us in his image. He wants more for us.
About the divorce, or getting a divorce, but still sexually active.
A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it's either you're going to do this, or you're going to work it out. And I'm all for it. If it's not abusive, I'm always an advocate of trying to work out your marriage, right? I'm always an advocate of trying to work out your marriage. But sometimes, again, when we enter into relationships in haste, right? When we do not have, what did Apostle Liverpool say?
Decisive
governance over our bodies, right? When we don't have decisive governance over our bodies, you know, we get into things and we try to kind of fix them. And sometimes we think that marriage can fix things. And it can't. Marriage is not the solution for our sin.
Wow.
Marriage is not the solution to your sin. Repentance is the solution to our sin.
Yes, that's right. That's the word.
Right?
Good.
So don't get married because you're in sin. Get married because this is the person that God has called you to. Because you see purpose in this person. Because it's divine. Because it's the will of God. Right? Woo, Jesus.
Good.
Hallelujah. Somebody's going to be free today.
That's right.
Jesus.
Somebody just say, Lord, I repent.
Jesus. Lord, I repent. Jesus.
Yeah, even if you don't know what you're repenting for. Just
Jesus.
Like, that just felt like a place to repent right
Jesus.
There.
Jesus. we have some notes.
And you know, while you're just reading this, I'll just read this real quick. Proverbs chapter 1.
Take us to the word.
The Proverbs, you know I'm going to take it.
I know.
The Proverbs are so key. If you read the first two chapters, you know what we're not going to do right now. You know, it talks about how important it is for us to ask for wisdom and seek wisdom. You want to know something? Wisdom, wisdom is what simplifies the complicated.
Yes.
So when you have wisdom, the Lord showed me this a while ago. You don't need wisdom for yourself. You need wisdom for relationships.
Jesus.
Think about it. Because you can be wise in your own eyes and you'll never know it. It's not until you get into relationships. And I'm not just only talking about romantic relationships, just relationships in general. Wisdom is what comes out in relationships. Fools are exposed in relationships, friendships, business endeavors, etc. See, wisdom or the lack thereof is discovered in relationships. You ever realize when people just keep making the same dumb decisions? Like, why are you still going back to that, to the same type of people? They lack wisdom. And I've seen very knowledgeable, intelligent people get into relationship. I mean, they'll pick the person, the stragglers, the, you know, it's like the person has no future, no purpose, and they just find this person to be with, right? It's because they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have a lot of wisdom. See, that's the difference. Wisdom is found out, or the lack of it is found out when you enter into relationships. And look what the scripture says in Proverbs 2, look at this, verse 10. Proverbs 2, verse 10. I'm going to read the NIV. When you have it, say amen. Proverbs 2, 10. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. This is after you ask for it. Next verse. Discretion. Everybody say discretion. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. See, notice what the Bible says. When you have wisdom, you have discretion, and you have understanding. Discretion allows you to screen people out, to discern people, and you'll know what's a good relationship to be in and what's not a good one to be in. Discretion, the Bible says, will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. This is literal, I'm looking at it. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked people, wicked men, from men whose words are perverse or perverted, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Complication. Confusion. You see, wicked men, evil people, they love lies. They love ambiguity. They love blurred lines. So you never really know what a person is, right? They come into your life and they slither in their lives and they use deception and all sorts of evil to just keep you hanging on, right? And you'll never get to the bottom. You never know the truth, right? The Bible says wisdom will save you, women, ladies, from wicked men who are perverted. But look at the next thing. You got some word for the men too. Wisdom, men, will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. From the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Now, these are some strong words. Right? It's like, get out, right? And you know what the Bible instructs us to do when we adult at the adulterous woman? The Bible says, flee, run away. Right? Stay far away from her house. Another proverb says that. You know why? Because it's like, it's when you, if you give yourself into the seductions, and notice the seductive words, the deceptive words. Notice talking about the man with the words that are perverse and the woman with the words that are seductive. Perverted words from the man, seductive words from the woman. And both of those things are what leads us down into the past we shouldn't be in. Okay? Now, my point is this. You need wisdom in order to be able to avoid complicated relationships, complicated situations. God doesn't want your life complicated. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't like complicated things. I don't like Rubik's Cubes. I don't play with them. It's too complicated. I don't play Call of Duty. It's too complicated. For me. All right. So, with that in mind, I want us to pray for wisdom. Say, Lord, I need wisdom in this next season of my life to make the wisest decisions regarding my relationships Amen. All right, so we're going to wrap up. What's that, babe?
Wisdom allows you to make decisions that add to the quality of your life, not take away from it. A wise choice will never lead to contention with others or death. All right? So I just want to say, there's some more things written, but I just want to say that again. Wisdom allows you to make decisions that add to the quality of your life and not take away from it. So remember that. If it's a situation that's taking away from your life, chances are that's not God. It should add to the quality of your life. So the person entering into your life should add to the quality of your life. They should motivate you. You shouldn't feel depressed. Right? That's a good sign that when you're in this person's presence, like, you just feel depressed because you're not getting what it is your heart desires. Right? It's time to go. And you got to make a decision. You have to make a decision.
It's good. All right? All right, so let's give you guys some takeaways. Let's give you guys some takeaways. How to solve complicated issues. Relationships. Number one, seek clarity by asking questions. If you're in a situation where it's complicated, seek clarity by asking questions.
Simple.
Most times people are in complicated relationships, have a view of the relationship that's different than the partner. And then when that happens, chances are you're probably not in a relationship. If you have one view of the relationship, then the other person... It goes like, how can two walk together unless they agree, right? So we need to first agree on what this is before we try to keep walking together, right? It's order. We have to agree on something before we continue down this path, or we're going to both arrive. I'm going somewhere, you're going somewhere. And, you know, relationships are an investment. We got to both be invested in going to the same place, or it becomes a hobby. We missed it. Most relationships you have are hobbies because it's just a pastime. They're not really, they don't know if this is not the person they want to spend the rest of their lives with. They're not connected, they're not invested, they haven't opened up to them. So what else are we doing? It's a hobby. So there's no such thing as an open relationship. That's number two. There's no such thing as an open relationship. If somebody tells you you're in an open relationship, you're not in a relationship. Right? Because they're telling somebody I'm with you. And they're telling the other person we're in an open relationship. But they have one person that they are more invested in than you.
Yeah, you're not quite meeting the quota.
Yeah.
You're not quite meeting the quota for them. Harsh as it sounds, but that's the real of it. You want to guard your heart, right?
Yeah. That's why we need to know the sobriety that love.
Yes, as Nicole requires. Said.
Love is sober. She said.
Yes, don't she remember at the wedding? She said she didn't want to be drunken and in love. She wanted to love soberly.
Come on.
And it's true. When you're drunk, you're all over the place. You don't know. You have no idea what you're doing. But when you're sober. Right? And you're intentional. You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly what you're getting yourself into. Falling in love it sounds romantic, but a lot of people that fall in love, not even, like, a lot of people, when you hear that, they fall out of love. So when you just fall in love, you fall out of love. But we grow in love, right? We grow in love. When you grow in love, there's foundation. When you grow in love, there's seeds. There's things that
you're watering, that you're sowing into things when you're growing in it. But when you just fall into it, it's like, oh, I stumbled upon this. So is it really, was it really meant to be yours? If you, or is it yours? Because sometimes we stumble upon things that belong to someone else. Right?
Wow.
So, yeah, that was.
That's good right there. Listen.
Whew, Jesus, the time.
Somebody's going to get married in a few months after.
Yes.
Come on, who is that?
Somebody, who is it?
Who is it?
Stop wasting your time. Stop, ladies. No, seriously. I'm going to say this, and we're going to wrap up.
This is the last session.
This is the last. Stop wasting your time. Stop. You've been dating this person, and he doesn't know what he wants to do. It's time to move on. Move on. Don't allow him to hold you and keep you as a puppet on the string when he has time for you, when he's available. No. Cut it off. I'm serious. Cut it off.
Now.
Because his intent, you don't understand. When a man loves you and when a man understands what he wants, he's clear. He's sober. He knows. It's only those men that are kind of, they don't even know who they are. And they want to bring you into their confusion. Cut that off. Because you know what? If you don't, you risk the chances of missing what it is God has for you. Because you're all cloudy and drunk in love over here. And then what God really has for you is over here, but you can't see. So cut it off. I'm serious. The dates, the dinner dates, it's not worth it. Take yourself out. Go out to eat with your girlfriend. Go out to eat with your mother. I gotta take my mom out a little bit more.
Yeah.
That was note to self.
It's true.
But yeah, I'm serious.
And listen, we're in church, so you should not ever feel like I don't have anybody to hang out with.
And
we got a whole church of people right here to hang out with.
And hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
We know, come on. We know when someone is kind of dating or seeing somebody they have no business seeing.
You don't see them.
We don't see them. Their attendance is scarce. The phone calls, you don't really get them anymore. The text messages stop. Somebody else is occupying their time, right? But is it God ordained? Right? Is it God ordained? Is it where you're supposed to be? Hold yourselves accountable. Hold each other accountable. This is the year. People are going to get married this year.
Yes. Come on, claim it.
It's not going to take long. Listen, when you're clear as a man, when you're clear as a woman, when you know what you want, you don't have to date somebody for 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years, right? Because you're clear. There's a difference. I understand, like, you want to grow and you want to. Sometimes when you get into a relationship at a young age, that's a little bit different because you're growing together, right? But when you reach adulthood, and you are clear and you understand what it is that you want, you don't have to date somebody for 3 and 4 years. Because when you do that, you're opening up the door for sin. I'm going to be real. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. I'm married.
Amen. Yes, you are.
It's burning. It's, come on, let's just be real. Okay, so we're going to speed this up because we have to go. I'm sorry, babe. We have 0 seconds.
The rest of the
He's going to take over.
So we got number 3 was one of them. Titles don't complicate things. They clarify things, right?
Yes.
So if you're with somebody and they're afraid of putting a title in a relationship, then they don't want to be in a relationship.
They don't. Set boundaries and expectations.
Number 4. Who's taking notes?
We did one. Number 1 is set clarity by asking questions. Number 2, titles don't complicate things. They clarify things.
Yeah.
Number 3, set boundaries and expectations. State your values. Enter into relationships with vision and purpose.
Yes.
Right? I won't even go into it. Number 4, I love him, but is a good sign you're with someone you shouldn't be with. So I love him, but. So this particular one, ask yourself, I love him, but is a good sign that you're in a relationship with someone that you shouldn't be with. I love her, but it's a good sign that you're in a relationship with someone that you shouldn't be in. If you got to ask yourself, like, I love him, but he doesn't really like working. I love him, but he doesn't know how to cater to my needs. I love her, but she doesn't allow me to be the man that I know that God has called me to be. I love her, but, or I love him, but they don't want to commit. Okay, I'm moving forward. Ask your friends and family what they think. No, I mean, good counsel, right? Good counsel. Good counsel. That's all I'm going to say.
That is important. Relationships are a family affair.
Yes. So sometimes we isolate ourselves from our families because your family, they know.
They know.
Because sometimes we're blinded by everything good that's going on in the relationship. But they see the bad that outweighs the good, right? So bring that person around. Bring them around your family. Don't isolate yourself.
And family, I mean, that also includes the church.
Church family, yes.
Also includes church family.
Bring them to church.
Bring them to church. Bring them to church.
Bring them to church.
If church is going to be an instrument, if you're a Christian, if it's an instrumental part of your life, if it's a part of your devotion, and this is critical to who you are, I think one of the first things you should do is bring them to church.
Yes.
The minute, let me tell you something. Here is wisdom. The minute you miss church to go out on a date with somebody, the minute you miss church to go out on a date with somebody in a relationship with, in that person's eyes, you just lowered the worth, you lowered your standard and the worth of God in the relationship.
Yes, Jesus.
One time you do that, they're no longer going to value your God, value church, or value your commitments to God because you just changed your commitments to God for him or her. So they're no longer going to value as much as you say it is important to you.
And your commitment overall.
Yeah.
You're just even, of course, that Sunday, but your commitment overall. When you have made a commitment to the things of God and you're willing to put this person before the things of God that you've committed to, you've just devalued. Right? So they no longer, so even if they were looking at you in a light of, wow, like, she or he really has a relationship with God, like that God-fearing person. They're like, oh, I can get them to do this anytime.
Yeah.
I guess I'm more important to them than the God that they serve. That's dangerous.
Then you create them into an idol.
Yes. They become your God.
Then you put them in danger.
Yep.
Because now God is going to have to compete with them, with your attention. So, God said there should be no other gods before me. That is important. So not only do you value God in your sight, but you create in them an idol and you put them in danger of God's fury. Because God is a jealous God. So when you start seeing hell breaking loose, maybe it's not them, it's God getting your attention again.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
All right. So, relationships, ask your friends and family, what do they think? Bring the church, find a few people that you trust to give you spiritual insight, accountability. You say, hey, what do you think? I'm dating this person, I'm dating her, I'm dating him. What do you think? We got a pastor here, you got a first lady here that loves people, that loves everything. We got some wisdom to share. We got so many people here from different, I love our church, but we got people from all different spectrums of the relationship. Matter. We got divorcees here, we got widows here, we have, you know, newly married, you know, long time married, you know, singles. So we got so many different so many different angles. You can start playing. We got so many different angles
that's it.
To choose from in terms of how we can receive wisdom, all right? Seek wisdom, the Bible says. Seek out counsel. If you don't, Proverbs 1 says, wisdom will laugh at your calamity. Wisdom laughs at you when wisdom has been crying out, saying, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, and you choose to do otherwise. The Bible says, read it, Proverbs 1, verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. And the Bible says later on, it says, until you turn away and hearken unto me, shall you dwell in safety. All right, today's a day we just dispensed wisdom to you. The last few weeks we've been sharing wisdom for you. You should not be making the same mistakes I made, Shanique made, or the mistakes that you made past. You know, we want you guys to really, what we're saying, with all urgency. We want you to take this right now, she said. If you want clarity, cut yourself off from all the people that you know are going to be wasting your time from this day forward. And just choose to do things God's way. Seek divine order. Seek divine order. If not, you will have disorder, dysfunction in your life. Nothing is going to change. Amen? Pastor Gripper, yeah.
A relationship where a couple may start out together and they're madly in love with each other and then neither one of them were saved.
Yeah.
And then one gets saved.
Yeah.
And now they're in a relationship where one is going one way and the other one is going the other way. Now they're in a complicated situation.
That's good.
What does the saved person do?
Yeah. Are they married or just dating?
Unsaved, I cover him. If I'm a husband and my wife is unsaved, I cover her. Right?
That's good. Sister Carol, you have something right quick?
I'm so happy you asked that question. My husband and I were married for 32 years before I lost him to a massive heart attack. But I got saved and he wasn't. And the thing I did was I kept praying and praying and praying. I dragged Mercedes with me. She got saved. And my husband and my son, they were just doing their own thing. But my husband was very respectable and respectful. So he didn't get in the way, but he was just doing his own thing. And eventually, he got saved. And then he was saved even more than everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he just went in deep. So God is faithful.
Yeah.
God is faithful. And once you can pray fervently and sincerely, God is going to do what you ask. Because he's a prayer answering God.
Hey.
Amen.
Beautiful. This is why if a person loves you and they trust your vision and you are walking or living according to a purpose, not pleasure, they will consider your views to say, well, why did you make that choice? You get what I'm saying? And then there's a reasoning that needs to take place. It may take some time where you model the example of Christ or what you have, your consistency, your devotion to Christ. Because I think that is an amazing thing for a person to choose Christ when they're with somebody and they're not saved and they make that decision over that person. I think that is amazing. And that's only the Spirit of God that does that, that allows that to happen. So I think that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work that the same way he reached me. I'm just going to believe that that person will also be reached. And usually that's what I've seen. I've seen that a number of times where people weren't saved, one gets saved, and then a few months later, the other person decides to follow them.
That's especially when the person that has decided to give their life to Christ has set the standard, right? And you set the standard, and like Pastor said, you're modeling for that person. So you can't say, I'm saved, and you want to win that person to Christ, but and then you're still doing the same things. That person has to see a difference. And then the joy, that's going to draw them to Christ. Like, who is this God that you serve that has completely changed and turned your life around? And that's what draws people to Christ.
I think we spend too much time trying to change the person instead of just getting filled up with God. Because the more we allow the Spirit of God to work on us, it'll cause that person to see that there's something different on you. And I want your God.
You get what I'm about like serious, I just want to be clear about that. Not like some random person that you kind of like and you're trying to figure out, you know, I really want this person to get to, you know, be saved. I'm saved. What should I do? We're talking about like relationships that have time, commitment, things like that. I just want to be like kind of clear.
Last point. How do you know that you're supposed to be with a person? A concrete way. A physical way. You know, I think, first and foremost, I don't think it'll be physical. I think that it goes back to what I was talking about, vision and purpose. It goes back to that. That's not physical. We walk by faith, right? Not by sight. So you have to know that you as a man, you have to know what your purpose is and what God has called you to do. I don't think you cannot identify your wife as your helpmeet if you haven't identified your purpose. You have to know what I'm called to do. Looks that pretty? You have to know what you're personally called to do first. And that's why we encourage you to get into the Word, get into the presence of God, get closer to Him. And the more you get closer to Him, you'll know who are stragglers, you know who's side salads, busters, you know what's time wasters, the adulterous woman, you know what the distractors are, because you know, this is my purpose, can you accommodate this, can you carry this with me, because that's her job, she's your helpmeet. So you got to know your purpose first. I don't think you'll ever know who's really for you until you know what you're called to do, you all right?
Does that, like, make sense? Okay.
All right, let's all stand, church.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.